Welcome to the Ross, L, and Luke show. We're Aussie blokes, we're dads, and we're entrepreneurs. Between us, we've made a lot of mistakes and learned a few things about life, love, relationships, people, and business. And we're here to share those with you. You may get three different perspectives, or you may get one universal agreement. But whatever you take away from today, you can be guaranteed we enjoyed delivering it to you. Gentlemen,
hello.
How are you?
Hello and welcome.
Good.
So welcome back, Luke. Welcome back, Al. Good to see you guys again. And last episode, we were talking about being present.
Yes.
So that
well,
came up.
We almost got there.
We just started to talk about it. And, you know, Luke, you'd said the comment that, you know, people talk to you and it's like, well, be present.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean and how do you do that, really?
Yeah. Well, I think we touched on it a few podcasts ago. I suppose it's feeling present. So from what I've learned is being present with the body, so it's a good anchor. Just so you know, it might be through breathing or just feeling into the body, you know, feeling that emotion that comes through you or whatever it is at the time. That's a good place to try and be present. It's hard to be present in the mind because the mind can really take over.
Can I adjust the language slightly to be sometimes unfamiliar?
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you tell someone it's hard, they're going to go, oh, it's not worth the effort, or it could be, you know, something else. So, and I use the same thing with my kids, and I'm sure I've probably said this on air a few times, but, you know, I say to my kids, I said, you know, they just, the moment one of them's working on, there's a test that they do in grade two or something, I think, and, you know, he's a whole year away from that yet. But, you know, he's quite smart, so he's doing that anyway. And then he'll come to mum and go, oh, you know, this is hard. And I'll just, you know, I'll hear him and go, oh, so what if you'd done it 10 times? Do you think it would still be hard? And he goes, no, it'd be easy. Yeah. And I said, oh, so maybe it's not hard. Maybe it's just unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I just reframe the and tell him it's unfamiliar, he's kind of a bit over that.
Well, it would be. And I stand corrected. So I'll do better next time, Ross.
There's no better. It's just different.
It's my experience of it, yeah? And I think with... habit, it's habit and practice with being present. Same with anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
So anything.
A few key attributes there. So, yes, but just feeling it, not thinking like I'm here with you guys now and I'm not thinking about what I've got to do after this.
Mm.
I'm even really not thinking about what I'm going to say next. I try and listen deeply. Have you noticed?
I think that's why we meander a little bit at times because we are present. I reckon we do a pretty good job of it too.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the practice for me.
Yeah.
And I take that outside of here. So you add, you know, driving in traffic, your partner ringing, you're late, you know, someone else messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Should I say I'm familiar? That's at that point where it's fucking hard to be present. I'll be, all right? It's
you find it challenging to be present. Yeah, got it.
Yes. And leading into that, it's a little bit offshoot, but we're talking about what were we talking about previously before we hit record?
I mentioned the introvert extrovert, but
yeah, so it's that social connection. But I was I suppose a lead into technology. I was doing a bit of research on in and around how technology has affected us as a society, and there's some studies. You know, look, since I think it was 1990, so about 12 years. Since 12 years ago, and it's about 50% of the population in America had mobile phones. And now, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like 90%. It's crazy. Like everyone's got one. And they're talking about this, how we can get spread thin. So we
100%.
Have...
I thought we actually had more mobile phones than people. I thought we got to that point.
There is...
It was more like, I suppose...
On the air, there are more than the population, yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. So it's a massive shift. And what they noticed is that there's a lot of... There was no real deep connection. So, for example, if you've got a Instagram account, you've got 350 followers, well, you don't really know those.
Mm-hmm.
But you might know a few, right? So 5 or 6, your top 5 or 6. But what we grow up with is our brains are not wired to have 350, let alone 3,500 superficial connections.
Yeah.
Or connections in general, like deep connections. And our brain, we can get burned out with that. So that's important for me. And I was researching it based on my child having, you know, technology.
Mm.
Like, oh, can I have Instagram? And then there's Facebook and all the rest of it. So
Snapchat is the one for your teens.
Okay.
Young teens.
All right.
And that is the killer because it's like messages that expire. So it's like you've got to do it. And they can spend literally hours
on it. And that's
That's a major hook, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, and we looked at that. I'm almost regretting giving my young fella a phone now. And I dug a bit deeper and I was like, wow. And someone pointed out that, like we don't know how to connect. You know, at this point where I've got, even in your group of, say, 100, you've got no real deep connections. Well, now,
where were you ever taught that?
Schoolyard.
Yeah.
So you were never taught it?
But do you know where, and this is what...
You experienced it.
Yeah.
In a particular way, without any guidance in how to do that.
Yeah.
As a kid that knows nothing about the world.
Well, it's because it's inside of us. Like the ability to work out who's who and have those deeper connections. It's not just like on face value. There's things like hormones that come into place. You know what I mean? Like they're saying with dating apps, you know, there's research that shows that the amount of the sheer amount of availability of people on a dating app, it's just frying people's brains. And like, what do you mean? They just can't nail it down. And you know that person that says, fuck, they were good. They got money, great job, great vision and purpose, but fuck, I don't like his left eye. Kind of sits a little bit lower than the other one. You know? Like,
and
So, and these are, they're swiping, so they're not getting the pheromones off a person, you know what I mean, if they want a mate. So we're missing that. It's not only that deep connection, but it's that innate human connection, that real deep human connection that we're missing through hormones and pheromones and things like that. And I was like,
and I'm not going to.
So true.
I don't want to paint the broadest brush. However, how often do you, well, you probably didn't because you've been married. I was single for a while and I would be online and the sort of hottest, most dolled up women often were the kookiest.
Yeah.
Mm. And so if I'm going purely on them being dolled up, they're not guaranteed to be. However, they often were. And sometimes I'd be interacting with them and the people around me, mates around me, were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
She's not for you at all, mate.
Yeah. And we can't see that. And that's the thing. But if you met that person, say in a pub or a cafe, and you were like, wow, you had that connection, you looked into their eyes and she felt the pheromones because you just come back from the gym and she's like, oh, I want to mate with this bloke. Hey, it's happening. Yeah. Whereas online, it's this huge filter. It's not real.
Yeah.
We're not reacting to our most innate human function. We're not. It was just really interesting and I was just like, oh, okay, yeah, and it's right. So it's interesting to see where it'll go. It maybe just culminate in a huge pile of shit and then it'll just, we'll just come back down and go, right, we do need to know who we are and have those deeper connections.
I just want to temper that.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I disagree at all. However, I'm even older than you.
Yeah.
And the term the generation gap to me implies that I carry forward the values and whatever that I established when I, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And so the further I go into the future, the more the values of the current generation are different from mine.
Yeah.
And so I will always then look and start judging that based on my values. So I agree with you. However, I agree with you probably because I've got values even older than yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and I've had a computer or a game console since 1979, since I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
And so I've experienced the disconnection that they bring.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, I was one of the first in my neighborhood, so I had plenty of mates around, but we were there looking at a screen and I'm there trying to clock it and, you know.
Yeah.
It's completely and utterly pointless.
Yeah.
It comes down to it.
And it can be, like, games are a form of entertainment. Yep. I suppose my point is that connection with humans as well that we meet, especially the relationships, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, when I talk about social media, quite often I say everybody's talking, no one's listening.
Yeah. Well, no one's connecting.
Yeah. It's all one directional.
I met two girls at a party, right? Friends of friends. And they're, you know, one was in the corner and obviously having a bad time of it with a breakup or something like that. And we just saw her, you know, and I went, oh, it's okay then. And she goes, oh, I've lost my phone. And she was in a bit of a panic. So, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, you enjoying the party? And she's like, oh, just what's going on? You know, and she's like, oh, you know, and he does this and that and just full outpouring. And I was just like, okay. I was, yep, bring it on, cool. And I said to her, you're an attractive woman. I can't see why it would be so hard to have a relationship with you. Like, you know, like have I been like, and it is, it's all this, just no connection.
Mm.
You created your children.
Yeah.
How easy is it to have a relationship with them all the time?
Mm. I like that. Challenging, unfamiliar. Yeah.
So it's
it constantly changes. All right, no, and that's a very good point, Al. But it was just, I'm looking at a person, I'm going, how can you be so upset about, you know what I mean? Like, they're potentially not seeing their full potential or who they are. So just chill out. Maybe just don't date for a while and find who you are a little bit.
I found that amazing for myself.
Yeah.
I actually intentionally, you know, I was quite busy dating and I just went, you know what? This isn't who I am. This is not what I'm about. So, you know, I said no to relationships and consciously went single for a couple of years. And that's when I worked on myself. And that was an amazing opportunity for me. Yeah. I came out the other side of that such a grown individual that it didn't need somebody else to try and, you know, we find a partner to complete us.
Validate.
A lot of the time. Yeah.
Yep.
And I came out the other side of that complete and I didn't need somebody else.
Yeah.
And what I found in that process was someone who was amazing. You know, I found someone that I'm like, wow, this person is amazing. I didn't know that, you know, this version of this person existed, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then we created this, you know, magical relationship. But prior to me choosing to be single and doing that, that was never a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, I was always having a relationship with someone that I was hoping would kind of complete me, and that left me more incomplete, which meant that we were always going to be arguing.
Yeah.
So I never had a relationship that, you know, took us to the next level. But I got complete, and then I was able to get a relationship to a whole new level. There was this, you know, new opportunity available in relationships called relationships.
Yeah.
There was this whole new thing called relationships that was now available to me.
And they feed off each other, right? So you're going to give what you need and vice versa. But, you know, it can be a vicious circle. So,
yeah.
But, and that could even come back to, you know, the person I was speaking to of not being present at all in their life, completely void of anything of what's happening now. You're surrounded by friends and family. You're talking to a guy who like wants you to do better. You know, that's being present. You know, you've got wonderful people that want to enjoy your time. And, you know, for someone to be sitting down over there at your friend's birthday, you know, it didn't make sense to me, but that's what it was.
For anyone listening, I think it's worth knowing that you are amazing. You are whole and complete. You are everything that you need. There's nothing more that needs to be done or happen or anything.
I agree. Everyone needs a bit of a helping hand from time to time, and, you know, whether it's a pep up or just, hey, we're here, and, you know, support, again, comes down to community, friends, family, and deeper connection.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I said community is, the lack of community is, you know, potentially the biggest problem in today's society, which was an interesting way of putting it. But I think it's a really big problem. We don't have community.
Yeah.
We really just don't have it. You know, the family was, tribe is what we had. Okay. Tribe got smaller and smaller till it was just family. And not that many, you know, generations ago, the family was all living in one house, sometimes with one bed. And that was several generations. It could be three generations all living together in one bed, in one house. And that was your tribe. Then we got bigger homes and, you know, we called it progress, and the kids got separated from the parents, and now the kids stay in their room on their own, on their, you know, social media, and don't speak to the parents. So now their guidance is not from their tribe. It's from their, well, it's a different tribe. It's their tribe being their peers,
yeah,
who also don't have the education and the communication and the knowledge.
Oh, their peers, celebrities.
Yeah.
You know,
that's that technology version of being spread thin. Yeah. And even in, say, 1950, for example, and I'm just pinpointing an era in time where, you know, you could have six houses either way that you knew. So if I was a rat bag playing up and I was down the road and John was there and he said, hey, you know, watch yourself. Wouldn't be doing that, mate. Because you knew my dad. So we had that ability to even outside of our own tight-knit family, that the tribe that we had around us always looked after us, even when others were busy. Yeah. And I've seen that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It takes a village to raise a family.
Yeah.
And now we don't have that village.
We don't have the village.
The wise old elder, we now stick them in a retirement home and visit them twice a year. You know, there's the wisdom that has learned everything that, about communication and relationships and everything else.
Yep.
They've been through it all. They've seen more. They've grown more. And they've got more to share. And we stick them away as if, you know, they've of no value to us, rather than going, hey, why don't you come and live with me?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's some wisdom here that I'm, my wife and I are both working. We don't have time to hang out with the kids. We would love for you to come and hang out with the kids.
So there you go. So be the change in the world that you want to see. So create that village around you, you know what I mean? Mm. Create that sense of community and get people involved.
Mm.
I think that's...
I experienced time and time again, my outlook is the world that I experience.
Yeah.
So rather than being the change I want to see, it's just be the change.
Yeah, it will be the change. We're trying to sell it out there. Yeah.
It's look at
and start again, small, I suppose. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, we have to start where we are.
It's always on sale.
Here we go.
Ross made,
no, you're right, you do. Yeah.
Ross has made the point in the past that different types of introspection can be just unavailable to people at different times. I didn't even look at personal development until I was in my 40s.
Yeah.
Even though I had a sense of purpose when I was 16, I didn't know how to describe it. But language, I was still standing in front of my house attempting to describe it to a 16-year-old mate, and he's like, what are you fucking talking about? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know, I just have this feeling. So even though I had that question at 16, I didn't do anything about it for 26 years. Mm. 25, whatever it was. Yeah, 25 years.
Mm.
And, you know, it's okay. I lived a great life until then.
Yeah.
And it's been, the truth is I have found it tougher since then.
Yeah.
I've also found it better.
It's because you're on that different path though. You're not on that comfortable path that's always giving you results.
That's right. And I am because of my commitment to that, I have a reasonably strong habit of enjoying being uncomfortable. So if someone out there is upset at me, they're triggered, then they trigger me.
Yeah.
I still get triggered.
Yeah.
I still want to hit them.
Yeah.
However, there's a moment in there, that awareness, where it's like, this is good. Because it's happening and I've picked it up.
Yeah. And have you always done it by yourself, like self-starter?
So driven, you know, yeah, absolute driven,
yeah,
independent, et cetera, et cetera.
So can I put it out there that working on an area of being socially connected, so we're talking about the village and community, opening yourself up there, like having lunch and dinners with people that you normally wouldn't, you know, inviting people into your life that you potentially normally wouldn't, may be an option moving forward.
There's two sayings that I love that talk about the two things that you guys just shared. The last one, is life happens outside your comfort zone. And along with that, the more common one is variety is the spice of life.
Yeah.
We've all heard it and a lot of people throw it around, but what does it mean? When you're outside your comfort zone, that's where you're going to experience life in a whole new way.
Yeah.
You know, you've done life how you're doing life right now, every day for the past, I don't know how many days, weeks, months, and years. So maybe you've just run the last 5 years and they look identical.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not outside your comfort zone.
There's another saying, same shit, different day.
Yeah, exactly.
So never used it.
So outside your comfort zone, where it is uncomfortable, is where you're going to live a spectacular life.
Yes.
Now, the benefit of that is, as hard as that seems right now,
it's just unfamiliar.
That's exactly it.
It is simply unfamiliar. I was about to say uncomfortable and hard. I wasn't comfortable with. It needed to be unfamiliar.
Yep. So that's it. So it is purely unfamiliar. So once you've done it for long enough and it is now familiar, it will feel weird for you and uncomfortable to do inside your comfort zone.
Mm.
You go, hey man, this is the old routine. I don't want it. I'm going to mix this up. And you will love being outside your comfort zone. And I don't know how long it's going to take for you to get there, but if you want to get there, it's going to be worth it.
Take the first
step. Now, that actually brings up one more saying that simplifies this, but The one I wanted to share from what you were sharing, Al, was do what's hard and life will be easy. Do what's easy and your life will be hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you do the easy stuff. You just go, oh, it's easy. I can do this, run my life the same every day. Your life's going to be hard. You're going to wonder why you don't, your life isn't the way you want it. Well, because you're doing what's easy. You do what's hard, which is getting outside your comfort zone potentially. In fact, it's probably a good place to start. You do what's hard and your life will be easy. You do the hard stuff and your life will be easy. And you'll go, this actually was easy. This was not hard. What I was doing was the hard.
Yeah.
Doing life the way you're doing life right now, which is exactly the same every day, you're actually doing it really hard.
Yeah.
That's a hard life. So do the hard stuff and have an easy life, and that will be an amazing way to live.
And obvious example, a runner.
Yeah.
Someone doing weights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people do enormous amounts of, so triathletes, enormous amounts of training.
Mm.
So then they can go in, and it's not about will I finish, it's about can I better my time?
Yeah.
Can I win? Can I, the only question is how good, not whether it's achievable. So if we carry that metaphor into anything, if we want it to just be how good rather than just achievable, is it achievable?
Yeah.
Then it's going to take those hard yards up front.
Yeah.
And what's the driver behind most of those elite athletes? Is their goals and their purpose, their vision for themselves. That's what I've discovered.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this right now and you're all fired up and you want to go make some change in your life and you want to go for a marathon or whatever it is that you want to achieve, set that goal, know where you're going, but start small. Don't expect to do that, that big run day one. Set the minimum that you're going to do. What is the minimum I'm going to do? I say, we spoke about this before. Am I going to, if you're going for a run, great, I'm going to put my shoes on, I'm going to step outside the door. That's what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 1% better than I was yesterday. Today, I'm going to put on my shoes and I'm going to step outside that door. Tomorrow, I'm going to step outside the door and I'm going to take 2 steps.
And you can just walk. If you're not running, just walk, yeah?
Yeah.
But just go out that door.
And bring community to that. That's a great example. So, I got a sore hammy from getting back on the track. And a friend who takes running very seriously has suggested I join the park run community.
Okay.
Which is a worldwide community.
Oh, nice.
Of people that just rock up to parks and run.
Nice.
So good.
So that's an example. However, I'm sure there's an example in every...
Mm-hmm. And that's that getting out of that independent, always done it by myself. And the reason I say that is because I've always done that.
Yeah.
And I think it was last year I had a conversation with somebody and they're like, you kind of always done it by yourself, haven't you? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, let's think about this. And I'm like, yeah, there is nobody else. It's always rested on me.
Mm.
And she said, well, this year, and we cleared that looping pattern and behavior and that emotion, is your year of being okay to ask for help and stepping outside your comfort zone. And for me, it's socially. And even the last month, I'm going over to dinner to a guy's place and he's awesome. He does great shit. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, well, let's just do this. And normally something came into my mind, nah, I'll just make an excuse and we'll do it another time. It'll never happen. I said, yeah, cool. So let's do this. And so we're going to do it. And it shows my kids as well. There's a family affair that we're going to catch up with someone that we've seen rarely, but we've seen around the traps, and they could be a great influence on our family. So,
mate, that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
It was always someone, they did progressive parties, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So, we always had uncles and aunties that weren't related. Totally.
Nice.
Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. The village.
Yeah, I was going to say the village.
Did we even address the topic you wanted to today, Ross?
Yeah, present. I don't know, but we've certainly been present today. We've been a great example of being present.
Sitting in the feeling.
But that was it. So, and we did start there.
Shit, yeah.
Being present.
Have we got time to come back to it or no?
We've got a couple of minutes to,
All right. Well, you're right. In this space, I find that I regularly am. And, so I have different experiences on the road to getting here.
Mm-hmm.
The road is a great place for me to be triggered.
So just for the clarity, you're talking the physical road outside when you drive your car.
In my car, on the road. Great place for me to be triggered. So I always have a varied experience coming here. And then...
it was a great one for me as well. It was a big deal for me. I suffered, let's just call it road rage. And then I discovered personal development. And on the road was a great place for me to develop myself.
Well, this is it. I mean, I'm I've been making all these decisions to drop out of stuff. So my way of changing was to go from, you know, here's how I approach the world, getting negative feedback, so let's just stay out of that sphere and just not even bother. So that's kind of been the response. I still feel that way very much. However, yeah, I'd like to see that change. The point, though, is getting here, it's always easy to focus on the conversation we're having, and again, I think it meanders because we're staying present to a conversation rather than to a concept.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm finding a great level of that, which is creating the mannering. Like we talk about things and we pick up on what people are saying. Oh, on that point. And if you weren't present, you couldn't.
That's right.
Yeah, you could absolutely talk about being present and we could just stick to being present. But the experience, I think, for, you know, certainly for us and
yep.
I would hope to think for the listeners too, that's the gold in what I think way we do this,
yeah.
is that we're present to the conversation.
Yep.
There's no way it has to be. Like, we're not here to prove something. We're here to
explore,
share our exploration of life.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you're not present to it, you're not exploring life.
No. And that, you know, I never thought about the social dimension. And ironically, where I want to go next is actually to create what I would call a holistic coaching business.
Yeah.
So it's a breadth of coaches that have their of passion, and then between us we cover everything for a human being or their business. So.
And we've spoken about this sort of thing several times. Yeah,
absolutely. However, I'd never thought about the social dimension ever before this.
Well, it'd only been brought to my attention, and I didn't trawl through things. It just, again, it comes up. It does. So I slowed down enough for it to come up.
Yep.
And I was like, there's two podcasts that I listened to, and I said, I cannot believe that I didn't know about that.
I've never heard anyone speak about it before, so
yeah,
very cool.
Like, and...
But that's an instance of that, you know, like, okay.
Well, it's energy, though, as well. Like, and I chose to sort of just do it, and it came up, and I was like, wow, that's really relevant. That's so relevant to me. And I'm going to look a little bit more over there because it strengthens that muscle.
Mm.
I'm not weak in that area. I've just felt uncomfortable for a long time, and I've started to, you know, lay the roots a bit more. And I know that long term that's going to have, you know, flow on effects for my immediate family, but also, you know, creating that sense of community and village, and eventually the, you know, the respite center for families, you know, and their kids that we want to build. So I'm like, wow, it kind of just felt right. So yeah.
Just while we're touching back on that, I had a life-changing epiphany for myself when I was doing personal development, which was to do what was uncomfortable. Like if an opportunity of some sort was presented in front of me and I said, and I consciously went, oh, that feels uncomfortable. I then made the choice to, if I felt that, to immediately go do that thing.
Yeah, cool.
Now you've got to do it immediately.
Yeah,
if you leave it a few seconds to think about it, you know what?
Yeah.
You ain't doing that thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be immediate. But when I made that conscious choice, like very conscious choice, because my life was limited because I wasn't doing the uncomfortable stuff. You know, there was an opportunity to go and speak in front of the room, and I had, you know, fear of speaking in front of people as a job. I spoke in front of, you know, maybe half a dozen people every day of my life for probably 7 years. And every day of my life, that was uncomfortable. You know, I might be writing something on the board, turn around, see six little faces listening to me, and I just kind of freak out. Like, why are these people listening to me? I'm not valuable. I'm, you know, da-da-da-da, all this garbage, right? And then I'd forget what I was talking about, and then it would just get worse, right? So it would compound what was the garbage that, you know, that I'd learned through my life. So when I got the opportunity to speak in front of 120 people, here I am not able to speak in front of six, but I knew I had to go do that thing. The moment I had that weird feeling and I'd made the choice to do the uncomfortable, they said, who'd like to share? And I'm like, and I'm like, oh, that's me. I've got to go say yes to this. Yeah. So I've put my hand up and I've gone down the front, and now I'm in front of 120 people, petrified of six, and I'm 120 people. And I'm like, but I've chosen to be there. Now, I'm not saying that wasn't uncomfortable, but because I had chosen to go do that thing, I was then capable of talking.
And what was your vision and purpose at the time prior to that, or in and around it?
I just saw that it was limiting my life. It was that simple. I didn't have any grand, you know, things that were necessarily driving me at all. I just knew that my life was limited by my fear.
But was it to help others, being on that coaching path, even in its simplest form, that you decided that, you know, I want to coach people and better others?
I don't know at what point that happened, whether it was before or after that.
Yeah.
Probably that clarity was building over that time.
But it kind of may have been there as a driver for you to do those other things as well. Do you know what I mean? Put your hand up in those uncomfortable situations.
I think it was more selfishly focused then.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I was still at that. That was still early on in the journey. And I'm still, like, exploring what's possible. And asking the questions, well, you know, how do I want more out of life? I knew I wanted more out of life.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could get more out of life, but I knew I wanted more.
Yeah.
And then when personal development was presented to me, and I'm like, so you're telling me that life isn't how it's given to me, but I can actually choose my life? Is this some kind of, you know, sales pitch, or is this real, right?
More. Yeah, yeah.
So I explored this, and I'm like, you know what?
It's a sales pitch based on reality.
Yeah. I'm like, so I'm like, hey, I'm actually changing things in my life, like my relationships and things like that, that before were just the way they were.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, so I can change my life. I can create a world the way I want it to be.
Yeah.
And then I took that to the next level, the next level, the next level. And I discovered that I can even create how I respond to people. And you're saying, oh, you know, you got these feelings come up and you can't, you know, it is the feeling comes up and then you can just you can choose how to respond to it. I've discovered that, yes, I was there at one point, the feeling comes up and I can, you know, choose how I respond to that feeling. But then I'm like, well, what if I don't want this feeling anymore? I'm going to change that.
Yeah.
And then I went about how to change that.
Yeah.
Well, now someone says something and I'm like, oh, wow, that must be really tough for you. To be experiencing the world like that. You know, that anger that you just went through then, like that must be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I can love someone who can be angry at me and I can just be loving them more, the angrier they get, the more I love them. I go, wow, you know, can I just give you a big hug? They're like, what are you talking about? Give me a hug. I want to punch you in the face.
But nonetheless.
Okay, you need to do that. You need to do that. But can I give you a hug?
Yeah.
How do you respond to that?
But do we need to do anything about those feelings? And that's the thing. Feelings come up.
Well, you don't. But that was
it's a feeling.
Yeah, so that was my choice. But what I discovered was my ability to have power over my world. That was what I discovered.
Well, that's
I'm not saying how anyone has to do anything.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I discovered that we have infinite potential to change our experience of life completely. Everything about it. If there's anything there's nothing in it you can't change. Like if I can change how I physically experience somebody else, like how I respond, if I can change that, I can change anything. My life is the canvas for me to paint.
Yeah.
And that was part of the journey I was on.
I mean, physically we're electrical impulses and chemical reactions.
Well, we are. And this is why it works in a room like this. So if we were over Skype or, you know, not on the ground together, it would be different. Mm-hmm. And some people have that connection and they don't. It might be their topic or, you know, whatever their values align. But yeah, you're right. It's very different. It's all energy. And the more we try to control, because ideally, like I don't control the outcome of my life. I'll put that out there. Yeah, I don't.
There's ultimately. Another conversation.
Yeah, and I don't. And nor do I look at my kids and I'm going, well, I don't control their destiny either. Mm-hmm. I can shape, guide, mold, mm-hmm. create the rivers and canyons, you know, or the tracks for them to walk on.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I don't control anything. And I'll put that out there. You can lament on that.
What about yourself?
No.
Okay.
Because if I focus on working so hard to change certain things about me,
that sounds hard work.
Well, I know I'm up in my head and I could spend years doing that and still not be truly satisfied. So what is satisfaction? But again, I don't control the outcome and I'm okay with that river of life that takes me here and there. And
why don't we address that in a future week?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Control.
Yeah. Control.
Yeah. Awesome. Excellent. Let's do that. Let's speak about that next week. Cool. Thanks to you everyone. And another great episode. I really enjoyed being present with you guys.
Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you.
To be here.
Yes.